Harper watched the leading Carizian come on like some moonlit, unstoppable juggernaut. His gunners were hitting her, he knew they were. Yet she seemed invulnerable, invincible. He saw holes appearing in her sails, and the sea around her was ripped and torn as tons of iron churned its surface. At least some of those shot had to be hitting her, had to be killing and maiming her men. Then her fore-topgallant toppled like a felled tree, and he held his breath, waiting to see her turn away at last, clear her own broadside so she could reply to her tormentors. But she didn't. She just kept coming, and he felt a deep, formless emotion stirring within him. It wasn't fear, he felt, yet it was something close. Dread, perhaps. He'd seen battle. He knew the sort of iron discipline it took to absorb that kind of pounding, to see that many cannon thundering away, hurling their hate at you, and still keep coming. He knew what he was seeing, and he could already sense the brutal price that courage and discipline were going to exact from his own men. An iron hurricane thundered into Armok's bows just as she passed between NGS Holy Warrior and NGS Crusade. It came from yet a third galleon, lying almost directly across her own path, and her entire foremast swayed, then plunged downward, crashing into the water alongside. Her main topgallant mast went with it, and there were more screams and cries from forward. Two of her lieutenants went down, and Silman Baker looked at his first lieutenant. "You may fire, Master Vicane," he said. Harper winced as the lead Carizian fired at last. For an instant, he thought the ship had exploded as both broadsides erupted simultaneously. Yet even as he thought that, he realized how wrong he was. Despite the pounding she'd taken during that long, slow, dreadful approach, there was a venomous precision to her fire. Her guns crashed out, two by two, spar deck carronades firing in unison with the heavier gun deck guns beneath them, and their accuracy was fearful to behold. HMS Armok had paid a terrible price to break the church line. A quarter of her crew were casualties. Her foremast was gone. She was slowed, lamed, with five guns out of action before she ever reached her enemies. But it was a price she had known she was going to pay, and she and her crew made no mistake. Her guns had been double-shotted this time. They slammed their hate into Holy Warrior and Crusade, raking both ships simultaneously. Men shrieked and died aboard the church galleons. Holy Warrior staggered, helm control obviously lost. She fouled one of her consorts in a crashing thunder of wooden hulls grinding together. Yardarms locked, masts snapped, and she and her sister wallowed aside. HMS Armok was in little better state. Crusade swung round to larboard, turning to run before the wind, bringing her own larboard broadside to bear. A third of the church ship's guns had been dismounted or disabled, but if her men were less experienced than Armok's, they were no less determined. The remaining guns blasted at the Carizian flagship, and this time most of them hit. The rest of Armok's mainmast thundered down, and Brian Lock Island went to his knees as a heavy wooden block, swinging from the mizzen top like a lethal pendulum, literally picked a marine up and hurled him into the High Admiral. "Larboard your helm!" Baker's clear voice cut through the bedlam, and Armok swerved to starboard, even as her speed dropped. She slammed into Crusade bodily, the shock driving more men from their feet. Crusade's mizzenmast went down with the impact, grappling irons flew, and Brian Lock Island drove himself to his feet, checked his sword, and drew his pistols. "Away boarders, Master Vicane!" Baker shouted, and HMS Armok's marines and seamen howled the high, piercing Carizian war cry as they hurled themselves across onto the other ship's deck with their High Admiral at their head. Behind Armok, Darko Sound came driving through the gap the flagship had created. She bore down on Holy Warrior and her fouled consort, larboard broadside thundering, then drove past, deeper into the confusion and smoke and bedlam. Behind her, Daffodil, one of Rockpoint's galleons, fought her way through, pounding with roundshot, battering a road towards the heart of the church formation. And behind her came Crag Reach and Margaret's Land and Green Tree and Foam. The Carizians maintained their formation with iron discipline as they broke through the outermost church line, but once they were past that ordered formation, the chaos Lock Island had envisioned enveloped them. There were simply too many church galleons swarming towards them. There was no possible way to avoid all of them, and the indescribable confusion of a night action churned the chaos into a wild melee that no man could have hoped to sort out. No one broke, no one ran. Perhaps one would have expected that of a navy with the ICN's traditions, yet its opponents were just as stubborn, just as determined. Say what one might about Jaspar Clinton, level whatever charge one wished at the corruption of the Group of Four, scorn the self-serving avarice of a corrupt and venal church hierarchy if one would, there were no cowards aboard the church's ships that night. Lock Island and his officers and his men had known precisely what sort of action they intended to create. They'd embraced it with the cold, calculating courage of a navy with an all but unbroken record of victory, and they'd walked straight into it deliberately. The crews of the Navy of God had thought they knew what was coming, but they'd been wrong. They'd trained, they'd practiced, they'd drilled, but they'd never experienced it, and nothing short of experience could truly have prepared them for it. Man for man and ship for ship, they were outclassed by their opponents in every category except one, courage. They were terrified, confused, with no clear idea of what was happening, and yet they stood to their guns. They were less accurate, they scored fewer hits, their round shot were lighter, but they poured fire back at the Carizians. And when Imperial Carizian Marines came storming aboard their ships after collision had locked them together, they met them at the bulwarks, on the gangways, with weapons in their hands and no give at all in their hearts. The last desperate defense of HMS Royal Carus at the Battle of Darko Sound had been the closest, most brutal, most ferocious engagement in the history of the Royal Carizian Navy. On this night, in this place, on these red-running decks, the Imperial Carizian Navy found its equal.